derby band.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Thank you. Love having everybody here today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. 11 o'clock here on the wake-up call. Let me give a shout-out to the folks in Lexington at the 94.7. And a thank you to Sugar Snap Consignment for supporting us today. You can find them in York Place, downtown Charlottesville. They accept and offer gently used baby and kid items such as outerwear, shoes, hats, crib bedding, nursing pillows, maternity, and nursing clothes, as well as cloth diapers, diaper bags, nursery gear, and other locally made items. It's a kid-friendly play area available while you shop. You can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. More info at sugarsnapconsignment.com. Thanks for tuning in today. The beautiful voice of Rusty Sempre will not disappear. He will be here for another hour. Rusty, how are you?
Doing great, Rick. And you?
All right, I hear some deep breaths over there as you run from one spot to another.
I've been hustling through this bluegrass, boy. Love it.
And also with us today, our man, Steve Bullock. Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for sharing your beautiful Sunday morning with us. For those of you who haven't heard these boys on before, we're going to be doing a little local car talk. I'm sure that we can only use that in such a fashion because we're not copying other people. We're just sharing the knowledge of some local car mechanics with those of you who have trouble getting in on other days of the week when you dial that toll-free number. So Steve Bullock here from Edgecombs Sales and Service, an independent car mechanical place. What's the proper phrase that I want to use?
Yeah, that's it, independent. We're independent auto repair and
auto repair.
Sales.
Thank you, Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service. Rusty Sempre, who all of you should know by now, with Price Hyundai, a dealership. So we got it all covered for the hour. You're going to be dialing up as you choose, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That is the toll-free number. Certainly, we can take calls from all over the listening area, even those of you listening online. Dial it up. Get ready to go. It's just me here today with the boys. So if the phone rings and rings and rings and rings, do your best to show some patience as we get going. All right, guys, while we wait for the first call, and don't forget, you can also send an instant message. WNRN Studio is the instant message address, WNRN Studio.
Will you be able to see that with the podcast running over there?
Oh, yes, it pops up.
It does pop up.
It does pop up. I have trouble reading it with my poor eyesight and the great distance of it being about a foot and a half away from me. But fairly new glasses, so we'll see. So WNRN Studio, if you want to send a message, 979-0919 for those who are a little more local. And you should be at home. Nobody should be traveling around Charlottesville with all this added traffic with students moving back into town. And then 1-877 toll-free is the longer when you don't live quite so close and you need to save the cash, which takes me right to the first question. Cash for Clunkers is in the news everywhere. It has been the primary phrase in terms of auto topic for months now. And if you want to save some money, you go out there. This is not a political conversation. We're talking about the cars themselves. But guys, when I think about it, from the auto mechanic standpoint, isn't this sort of euthanasia for perfectly good cars?
I think so, because we have probably 100 or so in our back lot down at Price, and I mean it's some nice vehicles back there that are just going to get destroyed, and it's kind of sad because not everyone can afford a brand new car. Even if they, you know, give you $4,500 for that trade-in, you're still, depending on what you're purchasing, yes, you're cleaning up the air, yes, you're getting better gas mileage, but you're still, you know, looking between a $200 to $400 a month car payment on the balance of that car, and it's just a shame to put yours, you know, to a grave when it's not ready. So a lot of good parts up there, a lot of good vehicles left that, you know, maybe someone not in a higher income bracket could afford to buy, you know, so it's hurting the used car business, it's hurting the used auto parts business, and you're destroying a perfectly good car. That's my outlook on that whole situation.
But, Steve? Yeah, I got to agree with him. I mean, I've ridden through a couple of the car lots around Charlottesville looking at some of these cars that are on the back lots with cars written all over them. And, I mean, some of these cars, there's nothing wrong with them that I can see. Yes, they are older, and I don't know what kind of mechanical problems they're having or anything like that, but it just it kind of hurts me to see somebody that's going to, you know, basically the car is going to be destroyed on a car that could make somebody else a good car.
We had a 94 Z28 traded in the other day. It's pretty sweet. I mean, that motor alone
is worth several thousand dollars
in a junkyard. It's worth several thousand dollars.
I mean, I recognize that you have to sort of, we don't need to get into the fine details. You have to pour some sort of,
it's acid.
You pour acid into the engine.
I was told it's some kind of silicone based stuff that turns to glass.
But whatever
it
does.
Up and it freezes the motor up.
Either way, the engine is going to be destroyed.
But you can't even take the perfectly good parts off of it for the people who are keeping their old Z28 and may need the part somewhere down the line.
It has to have a decent inspection sticker on it. It has to be driven to the dealership. And from what I understand, everything has to be working. There's a great big long list of rules and regulations that every salesman has to go through. And if it fails one of them, then it doesn't qualify for the program. It has to be, you know, insured over the last year. Like I say, driven in, pass inspection. So, no, I don't think they're allowed to keep anything. We can't even go over there and touch them. It's like a $10,000 fine if we tamper with any of these cars. So.
And you can't even, you know, pick a few important or, you know, the harder to find parts off the car to save for someone else?
Not supposed to touch them. $10,000 fine.
So you drive it in on the lot. You go through all the legalities that are required. And then the car as a whole is dumped.
Pretty much. From what I've understood of it, the only thing that's going to be usable on it, and they have 180 days to get any parts off of it once it's sent off to the salvage yard. And they have 180 days to sell any parts off of it. The only thing they cannot sell is the engine. The engine is useless.
Because that's what burns all the fuel. So.
But the transmissions, body parts, stuff like that, you know, it'll be good for a point, but, you know, sometimes salvage yards need to hold these cars to make really any money on them. It's going to be really hard to turn a car over in 6 months, especially an older car. So for the most part, it's going to be salvaged anyway.
I was told that we have a certain time frame and we're receiving, the dealership receiving $50 per car to lock the engine, recover all the refrigerant out of the air conditioning system, drain the differential, the transmission, the antifreeze, power steering, all the fluids have to come out of it too. So if you're draining a differential and you're letting it sit there with no fluid in it, it's gonna rust up and not be worth much anyway. Same with the transmission.
I mean, everything I see of it, it's what you said. It's euthanasia for a car.
So I can't wait for our meeting to where they're going to tell us what they're going to pay us per car to do that, because we might have a few differences about that.
$5.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not at the dealer anymore.
Free sandwich. So we are here with a little local version of Car Talk. Take advantage of Steve Bullock. And his knowledge from Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service, Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. That's the toll-free number if you're a little further out than the university area of Charlottesville. All right, guys, here's an instant message that's come in. My engine surges while driving. What could be causing that?
What kind of car?
Yeah, what kind of car?
It doesn't say.
I can go into just a quick couple things.
It says Ford Taurus.
Okay.
Mass airflow. Just
yeah,
one
they
last
had
week.
They had problems with mass airflows. They had problems with the MAP sensors on them.
What is mass airflow?
It's stands for it's
MAP.
The airflow that goes between the
air filter and
the intake, and all it does is measure it. The MAP sensor is basically a barometric sensor.
Vacuum.
It just measures the vacuum that's in the engine, and depending on where the vacuum level is, if it's too low or too high, it will add or subtract fuel. Either one of those on that particular model can be the problem. They had some problems on some of them with vacuum leaks, actually, but usually when you get those, they just surge constantly. They have a high idle.
EGR valves.
Yeah, that can cause it as well.
Exhaust gas recirculation, that's what that stands for, but.
But the biggest thing is to see if you can't get it to, if it's not, it may be throwing a check engine light.
PO171.
They throw check engine lights for everything. Yeah. And not just the Ford Taurus. Don't the, I mean, many, and we talked about this in the past, you guys, we've done this program three or four times over the last three or four years, is how many different problems can the, quote, check engine light.
How many problems can cause it to come on?
Yeah.
No. Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds.
And
hundreds,
how many of thousands. Those can you ignore for quite some time?
Maybe.
You can probably ignore.
20%. Maybe.
I would say easily 20%, maybe a little more. The biggest problem is that with the check engine light being on, you don't know if any other problems are occurring.
And can cause other problems to occur.
Exactly.
As well.
And when that thing is on, it is basically telling you that the emission systems are not working properly. So anything could be going on. You can destroy other parts of the, you know, catalytic converter. You can destroy, you know, engine parts, depending on what the problem is. You know, it's one of those things, at least get it checked out. And, you know, most places, you know, you can go to some parts places will charge you nothing, but you're really not getting too much information from that. Other places charge a minimal fee. It's just good to know what it is, and you know they'll give you an honest answer most places, and tell you what you should do, or you know whether or not you can or can't ignore it.
And to add to the confusion, just because they tell you it has a trouble code for a certain part doesn't necessarily mean that part's bad.
Absolutely, yeah.
Prime example, oxygen sensor code. You can actually have a little tear in a vacuum hose, and they're sucking too much air into the system, which would make it show a different reading on the oxygen sensor. So fix a vacuum hose, save $100 for a sensor. You know what I mean? So it's good to know, you know, if you're going to get it diagnosed, it's good to have someone with a scan tool that can actually read the current data of all the sensors and what's going on, not just throw a part on it.
So. Yeah.
Steve, what's your background as a mechanic? I mean, how long have you been doing this? How many? My understanding is that to keep certain degrees or titles, you have to go to various classes and programs to...
Well, the biggest thing that's out there right now, I've been doing this for 17 years now, and I am an ASC Certified Master Technician, which stands for Automotive Service of Excellence, and it's an organization that was set up basically by a group to give a standard, saying that you have technicians that have achieved a certain level. And to give the customers basically some idea that they have somebody that knows what they're talking about and isn't just, you know, some jack of all trades that, you know, yeah, I can go out, I got the certificate. There is an actual test you have to take and pass.
Several tests.
Yeah, it's numerous tests, actually. I think the thing went from being 8 tests to, I think it's, they got them for everything now. Buses, exhaust, auto body, diesel.
Parts managers, parts service manager. Writers.
I mean, they've got it for everything now, and
it's a national organization.
Yeah, it's not something that's just local. It's I think the name of the company is ACT. I think is the head of the organization.
Right.
I've been an ASC Master Technician for over 5 years now. At one point when I worked at General Motors, I was pretty far up there. I didn't make it all the way through because I left to go work at the import. And it's like I say, you know, there's different degrees for everything. Different places offer different classes. I think NAPA still offers some. I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
I haven't been to one of those forever.
Yeah, they used to do like little, you know, checkup classes to give you an idea of something that may be new and out there. It's like I say, there's different things out there. But, you know, as long as you're keeping up on things, working on them basically every day, you will stay up on them. And depending on where you work, they may send you to places that have, like, you know, a little bit of training classes here and there. It just depends on, you know, who you work for, really, on whether or not you get any real training. Dealerships are great for that. I mean, I got a lot of training when I worked at the dealer. I mean, there's no question I learned a lot there. But at the independent, you run into everything, and you will see everything.
That's the best lesson. Just remember what you worked on.
Exactly.
That's the best training right there. What happens to one usually happens to more than one.
And the internet has been great because now there's a lot of auto forums out there. So if you run into a problem, somebody else is bound to have run into it before. And it's nice when, you know, they'll post what they found. And a lot of times where you go through and you check it, you'll find the same thing. And it's like I say, you get a lot of feedback from different forums. And it's been a great tool, I have to say.
979-0919. Dial up, ask your question. Steve Bullock, Edgecombe's Auto Sales and Service. Rusty Sempre from Price Hyundai. Oh, somebody with no patience. Please. I don't have anybody out front to put you on hold, so you're just going to have to let it ring. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, WNRN Studio for your instant message. Guys, we were talking about ethanol out front. Steve, you had some...
Well, the biggest thing I see with ethanol, yes, it helps with gas prices staying down. But the other thing is to it is it's not exactly the most fuel-efficient product out there. A lot of people have noticed that their cars are not getting the full fuel economy they used to get about 2 and 3 years ago.
Could be making the Taurus surge as well.
It's possible, but you
got a bad tank.
You'd have to wait and see. Ethanol, the biggest problem I see with it is that, one, it makes water. So you have to constantly be driving a car if you're going to use this stuff to make it work or have a system that knows when it's time to purge it. But like I say, a lot of people run this stuff in the gas tanks, and the first thing when the fuel went over $4 a gallon, people notice, well, I'm not getting as good a fuel economy as I used to. We had numerous complaints at it when it all started, and the only thing that we kept on coming back to is you could see a difference. The only thing that had changed was ethanol was in the gas. And what it was doing is it was decreasing your fuel economy between 1 and 3 miles per gallon. And it's not changed. Because I know my car, I used to get about 29, 28 miles a gallon. I'm down to 25. And the only thing that I've changed on that car is the fuel. Because you can't get anything without ethanol in it anywhere.
Yeah, I can attest to that. He still has the same shoe size in here.
All right, people are welcome to call. Stop sending the instant messages. Well, let me rephrase that. Please continue to send the instant messages with your question. But you're also welcome to call in. People get tired of hearing my voice the whole time. All right, 1998 Volvo. Rusty's clapping. Miles per gallon reduced dramatically, not just 1 to 3 miles. Other causes besides ethanol.
Is it a turbo is the bigger question. Because when it gets hot, turbos kind of lose.
You can tell you back on there too, Rick.
Yes, I can, but I figured listening. That they're listening right. In some way. Yes, turbo.
Yeah, that is probably some of it. When the hotter it gets outside, turbos become very inefficient. And it's just the way that, you know, that those things work. They build up a lot of heat, and there's a lot of loss as far as power or power exchange, I guess is the best way to put it.
Does that mean it's going bad? Or?
No, it's not going bad. It's
why
just
did
that
he all of a sudden lose his mileage?
The heat is thick. Well, the air got really, really thick, and it's gotten really, really hot here lately. When it gets cool, turbos run really good.
What if he's had the car since 1998?
Well, then the only thing I can say is we would have to check to see what else is going on. Whether it could even be a fuel pressure regulator problem.
Okay.
Because they have
that's
been
what I
want
to hear. Other causes. Because if he's had the car for a long time and then all of a sudden just lost mileage, and that could be
an issue. The injectors could be clogged. We've been doing some different things up there through a company called BG. We've been trying things, and they have seemed to help with a lot of different cars. I can say for one, I've noticed, we do a thing up there. They call it an intake cleaning. I have seen a
Did
notice.
They show you that program?
Did you try it?
I was just happened to come in after lunch,
thing,
and they were it was changing the injector pulse by cleaning the upper intake and all this
thing
stuff.
This thing is right wild how it works. I was kind of skeptical about it, and when I saw until I saw it.
Hang on, caller. Keep going.
And the thing that really impressed me about it was that there was a noticeable performance change in the car right after you did it. The thing that we've seen that work even better is when they do what they call it's a compression enhancement or something like that. I can't think of what else they call it, but they call it basically it's a performance oil change. And what it does, you can't do it on a heavily sludged engine. That's the biggest thing you got to remember. But what this does is that if you do this, say, every 25, 30,000 miles with this intake cleaning, the car, you will notice the fuel economy go down for about 2 tanks of gas, but by that third tank of gas, you're going to notice more power, more fuel economy than what you've had. Now, I can attest to it because I've done it with my car, and it's like I say, it's impressive what it does because, you see a noticeable change And that's just what's so odd about it is you wouldn't think, okay, you run all this cleaner through a car. You know, most of the stuff is, you know, you don't see a difference or feel a difference. And I noticed a difference right off the bat.
But with the pressure regulator on the Volvo, you would have to hook a gauge for
you
that.
Have to hook
a, check
you have to
fuel pressure.
Yes. And you have to make
possibly
sure.
Possibly it could be leaking into cylinders and losing fuel that way.
Or it could actually be leaking into the intake.
And everything you mentioned is take it to the...
Take it to somebody that knows what they're doing with it, whether it be us.
This
or
is not,
be,
I can fix it in my driveway or check these things in my
driveway. Not unless you have a fuel pressure gauge that you can hook directly on the line.
And all right, listener.
Tool.
Good luck.
Right.
All right, let's do this. Caller, are you with me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I ask you to hang on for about 60 seconds? Because I hope your problem, while easily fixable, will last and still be there 60 seconds from now. Will you hang on?
The problem will be, but I'm at work.
Oh, all right. Well, then go ahead.
I'm hanging. No,
all right.
I'll hang.
No, all right. Be right back.
Yep.
All right. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy, 30% chance of afternoon showers today in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy with just a slight chance of showers tonight, 60 to 65. Upper 50s in the valley, upper 60s in Richmond. Partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers tomorrow, highs in the low 80s. Right now, it's pretty nice across the listening area. 73 in the Valley, 76 in Lynchburg, 78 in Richmond, 73 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And a quick shout out to the folks at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They're encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures right on your doorstep at area, state, and national parks this summer. Staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies, maps, and guides. You can find them in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen. And in Richmond, you can find them on West Broad Street and at the Chesterfield Town Center. All right, caller, are you still there?
Yes.
I hope you don't get fined for doing personal stuff at work. What's your question?
No. My question is, I have a 94 Chrysler Concord that has an intermittent overheating problem, and I just cannot place rhyme or reason, and it's aggravating, and it's I've replaced the radiator cap, and I'm wondering if it's the fan that kind of sticks or something intermittently, but I mean, you'll be going along and it'll overheat. And once it cools down, the water goes all out of it. And you fill it back up with water, and you're good to go for a couple of weeks, and it doesn't happen again. It doesn't have to be driven for a long period of time. There's just no rhyme or reason that I can put together to figure out what it is, and it's very aggravating.
Can you see where the water is going?
Can I see where the water
is
going?
Like, is it blowing it out of that overflow tank, or... Is it getting that hot?
Well,
to
I mean,
push
I'm
it?
Usually driving along, so I don't. I nope. mean, when I stop, there isn't any water.
You don't see any puddles on the ground or anything?
I'm sorry?
Puddles on the ground?
Puddles on the ground or steam coming out from under the hood or any of that?
Well, I mean, I try to catch it before it. I mean, it'll shut the engine right down, you know what I mean? Depending on how long it goes before I see the needle on hot. But most of the time, it'll just shut the engine right down, like, you know, immediately. And I don't see. I mean, there isn't. It drains the water out of it.
Yeah, we got to find out where that's going.
Well, I'm gonna throw a couple things out here, and you're not gonna like either one. I'm gonna tell you.
Ah!
One, it sounds like it could be a head gasket, but there's ways to check for that. The other thing is, too, is that it could possibly be that you have a water pump leaking.
Could you say that again, please?
The water pump could be leaking slightly on this thing. I'm trying to remember if it's the engine I think it is. The water pump is actually behind the timing cover on that one.
That's right. It's a 3.5 liter
okay.
thing.
Okay. If it is leaking, you may or may not see this thing leak because it may only be leaking when it's moving and running. The other thing is, too, is that if, depending on how many miles are on this thing and if the water pump has never been changed on it, I have actually seen the impeller, which is the piece that is behind the water pump that runs the water through the engine, rot away. and there's nothing there where it, or it's very little of it there where there's not enough circulation going on. And water will either flow out of the overflow tank or, you know, it can also possibly cause head gasket damage. The only way to really know is...
I've been hesitant to take it in because, you know, I don't want to pay somebody 4 hours to...
I understand.
Because it's intermittent, it seems, you know, harder to diagnose. And I've been just trying to figure it out without having to take it in and, you know, pay somebody to spend the money on it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's going to come down to that.
It is.
Yeah, it could also be a fan relay, like you're talking about. But if you're driving down the road and this thing is doing it, more than likely it's not, because usually when you're driving at any kind of speed, say 35 miles or greater, you've got enough air going through the radiator that it will cool the engine to a degree. But if you're
unless the air conditioner's on, then you're gonna
need that fan.
It will overheat, but
That's also a quick way to check the fan to see if it's working is turn the AC on max and turn it all the way up, and just see if the fan cuts on, because it should cut on, even when you're sitting still.
That's a quick way
to check the fan, but that's not telling you that the fan is working with the coolant relay, because that's a totally separate circuit. Okay, and
it's got about 175,000 miles on it.
Unfortunately, that's about when they used to come up with
some head time, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
From what I remember
dealing with them back in.
All right.
I would start, fill it up really full, and then put a pressure tester on it and try to find out where the water's going. If it's going past the head gasket, it should end up in the oil pan or in the cylinders where the spark plugs are. And then when you start it up, you're going to have all this smoke coming out of your tailpipe. So.
That would be the first thing I test,
and it would be running bad, too. So.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Good luck.
Good luck, and have a good day at work.
Thanks.
All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Take advantage of the knowledge.
She could have at least plugged her business where she's working.
Yeah, well, maybe she's unhappy that she's working on a Sunday and can't fully listen to Bluegrass and Wake Up Call. Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service, Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. Hey, caller.
Hey, is this 919?
It is. What's your name?
All right. Glad to hear you guys on this morning. I got a 93 Chevrolet truck. It's a 6.5 turbo diesel. And I have a problem when I drive the truck and drive probably about a half hour to an hour, just a normal time frame there, and then I turn the truck off.
And it won't
when
start?
When I come back to start it up, it doesn't want to start.
Okay.
Lift pump,
like
injection pump.
It's not getting fuel.
Okay, the first thing that you need to check on this thing would be to see whether or not there's an extra pump on this truck that's underneath on the fuel rail on the driver's side.
Yeah, the lift pump?
Yeah, yes. Down on the frame.
I replaced that.
Okay. Have you changed the fuel filter in it as well?
Yes.
Change the air filter?
No.
Okay. Diesels work on a simple principle. They've got to have air and fuel. If they don't have either one at some point, they will not start. So
okay.
This is the quickest, simplest stuff. The next thing that it could be is you have a possible injection pump problem. These trucks... 93 wasn't as well known for because they were mechanical pumps, if I remember right, because that thing changed over, I think it was 93, 94, Russ, do you remember?
I just know every diesel has had injection pump issues.
Well, that's the 6.5.
That's what he's got. He says
no,
6.5.
But it's a different, that's the completely electronic fuel injected 6.5 that had all the problems. I put hundreds of injectors on them.
They either won't start or you'll be going down the road and it'll just cut off. I mean, that's...
Those are the quickest things I can tell you to look at. It is, but 93, if I remember right, I believe that one has got a mechanical injection pump on it. Now, depending on how many miles are on it, it could be possible that it is worn out. But it sounds like it's a fuel issue is what it sounds like. But make sure the fuel pump is, that lift pump is working. And the way to check that thing would be to pop the cap off the fuel filter. Or just that little black cap that's on top of it, unscrew it to where it's a little loose, and just make sure that pump fills that housing up. There should be a wire up there. I think it's a fuse on that one that you should be able to jumper and get the fuel pump to run.
This doesn't do the 2 second on with the key.
It don't work that way. You got to prime that thing.
That's right.
And if the pump is not working properly, like it's not, it only puts out like I think 8-10 psi. I think is the most it can put out.
What holds the fuel up in the rail as far as fuel pressure? Where's it bleeding off at? Is there a check valve in the tank, or is there a fuel pressure regulator on it? Or is it part of the lift pump?
I think it's part of the lift pump
because that's when they go bad. It won't hold pressure and
right.
start. But he's done that, so.
Yeah, but that's the biggest thing is just verify that lift pump is working.
Make sure that where the filter goes is full of fuel, right?
Right, yeah. Because that's the way you just got to prime those things out. Excuse me.
All right, well, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, good luck.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
11:30 on the wake-up call. Keep them coming. 979-0919 is open. Let me thank Ben Around Tattoos for being with us today. You can find them in downtown Waynesboro, featuring male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design you provide. Piercing also available. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro or at 701 West Main Street in Charlottesville. Online, it's benaroundtattoos.com. And we all know there's lots of places to choose from to pick your music, but only one that brings you the wake-up call every Sunday. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like Gary Grant, Gene McCusker, Sarah Landon, all who supported us in the fun drive this past spring, and also because of program underwriters like the ones you hear this hour, as well as Orzo and Student Bookstore. So stay tuned. Tell a friend about us. Be here next Sunday for the wake-up call, and be sure to support us in the fun drive coming up in September. All right, 979-0919 is open. WNRN Studio is our instant message. And we got a caller on the toll-free line. Hey, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Ask your question.
Yeah, my name is Dave. I live here in Fluvanna County. I have a 1990 Chevy Lumina. When I first started driving this car 5 years ago, it had 23,000 miles on it. I was getting 31 miles per gallon on the highway. So my question is, are there any kind of adapter kits out there or anything that's been invented that will allow me to harness the wind when I'm driving over 50 miles an hour so I can get better gas mileage here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Why not?
Because I'm not aware of anything like that, sir.
Yeah, but why isn't it out there? Why hasn't it been tapped into?
Well, that's a good question. I mean,
you think a ground effects kit or something might help it? If they make such a thing?
Well, I don't know how you'd harness the wind. That's what I'm saying.
It's a tremendous amount of airflow that goes over a car when you're going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but see, I couldn't even begin to tell you how to harness that kind of power. I'm not an engineer.
Right. Where would I go? MIT, someplace like that?
Well, internet would be the first place I would check.
Yeah.
Just look for...
Okay.
Any kind of body
kits or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even begin to know where to even start.
Okay.
A good coat of wax.
Right.
That's what I always do. Wax will let the wind slide right off it.
All right. Hey, caller, how are you?
Good.
Thanks. You're on air. Fire away with your question.
All right. It's not really a problem. It's more a curiosity. A couple of months ago, I went to a local... just chain oil change place, and they recommended that I get my fuel injectors cleaned. So I said okay. I don't know what they did exactly, but next thing you see is everybody running out of the shop. That car is smoking and continues to smoke for 15 minutes, and they come running in saying, oh, it's okay, your fuel injectors were just really dirty. So I'm wondering, is that normal? The car is running all right now, but is that normal, and is that something that I want to do periodically?
Okay, what they did is it's that intake service that I mentioned earlier. When this thing is done, it produces a really, really big cloud of white smoke every time you clean the car out, as far as when you open the throttle to blow all the stuff through the
exhaust. Because that's what you're burning. You're burning this chemical instead of burning the gas in the car. So it's going to smoke and stink.
And it does smoke. It stinks
the whole shop,
to high
yes.
heaven. In fact, is that when we do it at our shop, we do it outside away from the shop.
But, guys, if that were the case, and caller, I don't know squat about this, but wouldn't everybody have already left the building before the one person who starts doing this? Why? I mean, if everybody runs out, suddenly it almost seems like an emergency rather than everybody. The person doing the service goes, okay, guys, I'm about to do this, so step outside for a few minutes.
It is kind of bad with the customer sitting there, too, and there's all the smoke coming in her car.
That's the thing, too, is that, you know, it's like I say, it depends on the car. Certain cars, you can tell cars that are, you know, basically maintained as far as, you know, they're using a fair or decent gas or they're not clogged up or anything like that, because they'll hardly smoke. But if you get one that is pretty bad off, where you've got a lot of deposits in the intake and in the combustion chamber and on the injectors, this stuff will smoke. And I mean, it's kind of hideous looking when you see it.
But apparently they didn't have some kind of exhaust hose to put on your tailpipe to suck the fumes out of the building and the vapor, you know, the smoke out of the building, which
And then they pulled the car out into the parking lot and it smoked for 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
For about a week and a half later.
Wow.
Yeah, what you're supposed to do when you do that service. Now, I don't know what they did, and I don't know which service they used. I know the service we use, we're supposed to start out, and this is just a real brief thing we do on it. They have the stuff that goes in the gas tank. You stick that in it. You take it up the road, and you drive it and get the engine up to operating temperature. You bring it back in. You get this stuff and you put it in. It's a nozzle that goes into the intake system. You put it in the intake system and you let the car sit there and idle and run. And what you do is you just sit there every time it feels like the car is going to stall out. You open the throttle up on this thing and just clean all the stuff out.
I usually clean them out about every 3 minutes.
That's about right.
Blow it out the exhaust.
And then after you're done, you put everything back together, take it up the road, and they tell you drive it like you stole it. That's what they tell you.
To blow all the deposits out of the upper engine, and that'll stop it from smoking.
But yeah. Because
if they just let it sit there and idle like that, it filled up the engine, it filled up the exhaust with this chemical, and that's why it continued to smoke. So.
Okay, one last question then. If I want to do this to another vehicle, can I just go and buy the stuff myself and put it in instead of paying someone $45 to do it?
No, because depending on what they're doing, again, I don't know what they used. We have to use a special pressurized tank to spray or atomize the stuff that goes into the intake system and into the injectors.
You can buy the fuel injection cleaner to dump in your gas tank, but what kind of car is it, first of all?
It's a Subaru Forester.
Oh, these are good cars to do.
Some of the injectors now are sensitive to some of the fuel stuff you put in the tank, but I think Subaru's pretty good. You can dump about anything in those.
Yeah, you can get away with a lot on those, but I will tell you this, the system we use, I mean, I'm not telling you to come to us by any means, but the system we use, it does a really good job with Subarus, and Subarus have a tendency to throw more material out. They're dirty. It's just the way that engine is designed. They are dirty on the inside.
So that's a good thing. It's getting cleaned out.
Yeah, and it will make a difference in how it runs.
So wherever this caller goes, it's something that she needs to do again.
Is
this something you do every 3,000 miles when you get an oil change? Is this a 25,000 mile thing?
30,000 miles is what I would recommend on it. I mean, because that's about how long it's going to take to get any kind of deposits built up. If you did it every 3,000, I mean, the expense of it, you know, you're talking about, depending on where you go, it's $100 to $150 wherever you go for that service. And, you know, that's not something you have to do every oil change.
But putting the stuff in the tank would help keep things clean to where you wouldn't have to go through the big service.
And you could do that about every six tanks.
Yeah,
if you're using the stuff over the counter, if you're using the industrial stuff that most places offer, then I'd say about every 15 to 20.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, 11:38 on the wake-up call. Dial us up. The phone lines are open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Rusty Simpre, WNRN's own Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. Steve Bullock from Edgecombe's Auto Sales and Service here sharing their knowledge about your car questions. We got it all covered today, dealership and independent. So dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. I got somebody coming in right now. I'll answer the phone while I do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
This week, children orphaned, homes washed away, entire towns underwater. 40 years after Hurricane Camille devastated Nelson County, the memory of the storm and its tragedies are still fresh in the minds of those who survived. Everyone expects to find local produce at Saturday's City Market, but one vendor offers a different type of fresh poetry produced on the spot. And it's another blind date challenge. Will this week's couple share more than a free meal? The Hook, with a page devoted to used car sales. Ooh. All right. We also want to thank Alt Energy of Charlottesville, designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy Solar System is now practical and reliable. It can pay for themselves in just a few years while reducing your carbon footprint now. You can also make a difference by replacing incandescent bulbs with compact fluorescents and have your kids turn off the lights when they leave a room. Thanks to Alt Energy, you can find them at altenergyincorporated.com. And the man just walked in the room, Drew Thompson, up next for Les Temps Purdue at noon. If French isn't your thing here at the station, that means the time's gone by. And on WNRN, it's 80s and 90s alternative music. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, we're back in action with Steve and Rusty. Caller, did you hang tight?
Yes, I'm here.
I love patience. Thank you.
Sure. I have a Honda Odyssey. It's a 95, and the SRS light will pop on, and then I've taken it to the mechanic. It's been going on off and on for 3 years, and usually they'll reset it. And I went to a different mechanic one time, and they wanted to replace, I think, the airbag. And I'm just wondering, do the Odysseys tend to have the SRS light pop on like that? And what is that a problem? What can I do? Because it's $75 just to reset the button.
After they reset it, does it stay out for 3 months? Or?
Yeah, usually it'll stay out for a few months or so.
Do you remember what diagnostic trouble code they told you? Or what part of the airbag system is causing it to come on?
The place I've gone for a few years just resets it, and they say it's just the light or the button, and it's not a problem with the airbag system. The only time someone was going to replace something, I feel like they were going to replace the whole system. I think it was going to be like a few $100s. I can't remember, give or take. It was between $200 to $400.
I'm not real familiar with Honda Odyssey, but I think it was the same thing as that little Isuzu van we had, which, yeah, the Isuzu Oasis is the same vehicle, which I've never had to work on an airbag situation on one of those before, but the most common problem today with airbag systems is wiring connectors. You got connectors under the seats, you got connectors under the dash, and we run into this, you know, quite a bit on Hyundai. These connectors become sensitive to moisture, which, like a high humidity situation, and as you sit in a seat or somebody moves your seat, the moisture in these connectors, as the seat flexes, will cause the circuit to actually open and make the light come on.
Okay.
We run into these every week. We take the seats up, we clean the connectors real good, and reinforce the connector where it doesn't flex underneath the seat. Because if you actually had a part failure, the light wouldn't just go off. If it was a part failed, the light would come back on and stay on. It's not going to stay off for 3 months. So that's why I was asking you which circuit it's on. It could be the seatbelt buckle. There's airbags in the seat, side airbag, front airbag. I'm thinking connector somewhere.
Yeah, actually, my car does leak water in through the trunk.
There you go.
So there's a lot of moisture in my car.
Well, the moisture could wick through the whole carpet system and into
the car. Right,
it can
get up into the carpet. Just high humidity, that's when we see it the most. On hot, humid days, we get a lot of airbag lights. We got people come in once a year, and we, you know, again, clean the connectors, make sure it's actually reinforced to the bottom of the seat as tight as we can get them to where that connector won't flex or move. And it, you know, some of them it fixes, some of them it doesn't. But like I say, if you had an actual part failure, the light would not go off.
Okay.
There is a chance that whatever circuit it is, the airbag's not going to function properly if you were in an accident. You know, if the light's on, then something's going on. But, you know, if the light's off, then, you know, everything is working like it's supposed to do. Because it runs a self-test every time you turn the key on.
So the caller, if the light is on, and what she's traditionally doing is taking it to get it reset.
All they do is clear the code. And
understood,
out,
but
yeah.
If the light is on and she's listening to you guys, mentally can she say, well, fine, I'm not going to worry about them resetting it just to make the light go off? Is that dangerous?
If the light's off, it's passing the test.
Well,
if the light's on, it failed a test at one point. And while the light's on, you don't know if it's failing now or not because the light's just staying on. So.
And by state inspection standard,
right, it has to be
it has to be working.
Yeah, but that's only once a year. So if I own this car and I'm trying to save some money and this light has been given, caller, if I'm speaking out of turn, just tell me to shut up.
But no, that's okay. Actually, it's during the inspection yearly that I get it reset.
Yeah.
So you are only getting it reset once a year, even though the light may be on the other, 11 months.
Yes. Usually not 11 months, but yeah, possibly 9 months or so.
Is that dangerous, guys?
There's no way to tell, really.
There's no way to tell what it's going to do.
It still runs a test and turns the light on every key cycle, but you don't know if it passed it or failed it because the light hasn't been cleared and it's staying on all the time. So.
And once the light is on, it's going to deactivate the system.
Yeah, it can cancel out some of the functionability of it all. So.
All right, caller, be safe.
I'll guarantee it's a connector somewhere.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It's probably just moisture. Being that you get moisture in the car.
Is it cheaper to just, to redo the gaskets and the seals in the trunk and save all this other trouble?
It's cheaper to find out what the leak is, because it could be the back glass.
Well, it is. I have to park downhill, because somehow it's coming in, through the top. I've had people take a hose, and it's coming in when it rains.
It could be a roof rack is, actually a broken seal from the roof rack.
Yeah, I don't have a roof rack
There are seams up there. I do know that.
Okay, so there could be holes for a roof rack.
It could be. Well, what it could be is that the seams, the sealer has cracked. The car, you said it was a 95?
Yes.
Okay, so you got 12-year-old, stuff in there, and I mean that stuff has a tendency to crack because it's just a filler. It's like a polyester type filler, and it will crack.
And you got a high mount stoplight back there as well.
Yeah.
Do you have a suggestion of what I should put money into fixing in order to sort of keep the airbag light off?
Well, the biggest thing is to get something to find out what the code is and what it's actually dealing with, and go to that and start with that section, and see where that connector leads you, and see if there's any kind of corrosion. Sometimes you can see corrosion in them.
Okay.
And if you get, like I say, they're very sensitive. They only allow a certain amount of voltage flow through them. And if they see, either none or too much, they throw a code.
Yeah, most of them only work on like a 2-ohm load, so it doesn't take much to...
Which is nothing.
Not much corrosion and stuff to
right.
make it more than 2 ohms that have to pass through it. So it's,
okay.
Or,
And that's a minimal amount of... flow.
They're very sensitive, and they're little small gold terminals. And
exactly.
They're very sensitive to moisture. But, it could be a clock spring. That's the thing in the steering wheel, which enables the airbag to fire and the horn to blow because it has to rotate. So, you can't just – if you just plug a wire up to the airbag and turn your steering wheel, of course, it would rip in half. So they have another piece in there called a sliding contact, which, like I say, it works just like a horn button to where it has to rotate and stuff. So that is the most open thing to moisture on hot days as well. So
okay.
It could be the piece in your underneath your steering wheel as well.
Okay.
But like I say, you never know till we actually had the numeric diagnostic trouble code that would help, pinpoint where the problem is.
Okay. And do you think it's worth the cost to have someone try to figure out the leak from the trunk?
Well, it can get kind of expensive because I would recommend taking it to a body shop.
Yeah, once the water gets in there, then you're dealing with rust and
then carpet, and and once the smell, once it gets into the insulation, the only way to really get that smell out is you got to get it all out and get it in the sun.
Doesn't that question come down to how much longer you're going to keep this car and whether or not you're going to try and get money out of it if you're going to sell it used?
Yeah, that's kind of where it goes. Or how
I tend to be the last owner of every car I've ever had. As long as I can keep this, I'm going to try.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
Bye.
11:48 on the wake-up call. Phone line is open, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is toll-free. Dial us up. Ask your question. Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service. Rusty Simpre from Jim Price Hyundai. Everybody here in Charlottesville. Guys, comment has come up a little bit. Saving money by choosing whether or not to do something, some repair work, or get something checked out. Comments on that?
Well, you got a lot of places out there now that are offering, some sort of a checkover, whether, it be, either 20-point, 45-point, or 60-point, whatever anybody, calls their checkover. A lot of times, most places are pretty thorough when they check these cars over. You can get, you know, they'll give you a list of what they find with estimates on them, and, you know, just ask them to prioritize what should be done and, you know, what's the most important to do at that point. Because a lot of times people don't, especially now, don't have a lot of money to spend on a car. So the best thing to do is just say, hey, look, you know, this is just a, for instance, if you've got a car that's got a, say, it's ready for a tune-up, but it can go a little bit further on what's there, and it's also due for a timing belt, I'd recommend do the timing belt before you did any of the tune-up stuff. Because the timing belt, if it goes out on a lot of cars, it's going to destroy the engine. And it is in a lot of cases, it's costly to do just the job, but it's cheaper than putting an engine in it.
Yes, as someone who's been on the side of the highway with a broken timing belt,
yeah,
I'm all for that.
On the same note, just, I mean, if you're going to purchase a car, take it to someone you trust or someone that offers this, you know, we call it a multi-point vehicle inspection, and it is a free service. If you're going to purchase a car, ask them if you can take it somewhere and just get it checked out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it in the air, and you look for, you know, holes rusted through the bottom of it. And
yeah, frame damage.
Brakes, frame
any
damage,
kind of stuff.
Yeah. You can pretty much look at the tires and tell how the alignment is. And yeah, just get it checked out. Use some sense and get it checked out.
All right, let's take this call. Call, are you with me?
Yeah, right here.
All right, speak up. Ask your question.
Yeah, I got a 2002 GMC Envoy, 150,000 miles. Got the straight six in it. I live in Waynesboro, commute to Charlottesville. About a month ago, only happens coming up Afton Mountain, check engine light came on. Took it, had it downloaded at AutoZone. They came up with two codes. The one code was relay switch bad on the fan. The second code said the clutch fan was turning too fast. Started the vehicle up. Turn the air conditioner on, maximum, both fans cut on, so I don't think it's the relay. Also, I don't know, this clutch fan turns freewheeling okay. Started it up, after it warms up, you can hear the clutch fan disengage. Don't quite understand what's wrong with the vehicle. All of a sudden, the light just resets, doesn't come back on again. But take it down to the beach. You think it would have got hot down there. The engine gauge is not moving at all. Again, coming home the other day, coming up after the mountain, check engine light came on again.
Is that the same as like the Ascender and Trailblazer?
Yeah, it's a clutch fan. The clutch fan on that thing is electric. I don't know if you know that or not.
It's
because
computer controlled.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not like the old days where you had a spring up there and the hotter it got, the spring expanded and it allowed those things to either lock in or as it cooled off, it would, you know, tighten up and release the fluid or the whatever it is that they've got in there. I think it was a set of ball bearings that would swing out. But on the new ones, they're electronic.
Oh, okay.
And what happens on these things, you may or may not notice it, but usually when it does this, this thing will roar, and I mean, it seems like it's losing power. You'll swear up and down the transmission's going out in it because it's actually the fan is going into full lockup when you're at a high RPM, and they make all kinds of noise. I mean, they sound like a plane taking off sometimes.
Right. It actually has a built-in sensor, too. When the computer's
right.
trying to command that fan a certain speed, and if it doesn't want to go that speed, that's why your light's coming on. It's either
okay.
locked in and going too fast, or I mean, it's off parameter somewhere.
On these new computer systems they put in these cars for diagnosing when you should change the oil. Now, that GMC will hold 7 quarts of oil, and I pretty much rely on the computer, and I've gotten up to 8,000 miles,
right.
and it still said
right.
I had 25% of oil life left. I don't let it get below that. I go ahead and change it. Bought a 2009. Now, it doesn't hold any extra oil, and I'm noticing I'm on way up to 5,000 miles, and it's still up to 40% life of oil. Do you still think the 3,000, every 3,000, or what's your opinion?
Well, here's how I tell people. If you're driving these things, it seems to me you're driving this thing back and forth on 64 quite a bit.
Correct.
I would say I wouldn't be afraid of 5,000 or no more than 7,500. I wouldn't be afraid of it. But if you're driving, like, you know, a lot of, you know, stop-and-go type stuff where, you know, you're not getting the car over 50 miles an hour, but, you know, every now and again during the week, then I tell people every 3,000. But when you start going past those lines that say, like, 5,000-mile intervals, the biggest thing I tell people is you've got to check the oil. Just because it holds 7 quarts, that really doesn't mean it's a reserve. That thing needs that oil.
Right.
It needs that. And that's with any of them. I mean, you know, like I say, I have a brand new 09 Traverse. And my wife drives it back and forth from home to work. I live out in the country. The vehicle very seldom sees 70 miles an hour. I change it every 3,000 miles, even though it says I have over 80%. I mean, that's just my personal preference. But just keep in mind, keep an eye on your oil levels and make sure that they're fine. When you start pushing past, you know, 3,000 and 5,000 miles, they start to use a little oil, whether they're new or not. There's something being used in there because the oil is getting contaminated from all the combustion gases and everything that are going through the engine.
In your case, I would say every 5 then, because you're on 64 a lot, so that's pretty much highway driving.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for the show.
Yes, sir.
Good luck, man. Thank you. Didn't they have a reflash on this fan? Reflash for, it was 1 year they had a reflash for fan clutch engagement.
I can't remember what it was. Like I say, I remember,
I know
those
we
things,
put a lot of them on when they first came out.
When they first came out, the people were complaining about transmission problems.
I had one that actually had a bad wiring harness because the computer's right there on the outside,
right,
and it loops past the battery and comes down to that fan, and it was a broken wire going up towards the computer connector, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, they do some strange things when they go bad.
Yeah. Do you get less... You know, people always hear about city versus highway driving. This last caller driving up, I mean, somewhat mountain driving, at least.
Afton, I don't consider Afton Mountain a mountain compared to, say, going up 33 to Elkton and Harrisburg and all the...
Okay.
Or like when you get up
so
around.
If there's no switchbacks, it doesn't count.
Afton Mountain, you can set the cruise on 65 or 70 and just, you don't have to...
Unless you start hitting up to Pennsylvania, Johnstown area, Breezewood. When you get around there, that's when you'll start seeing mountains.
West Virginia's a mountain.
Yeah, it's all up and down.
Afton, no big deal. It does put a little bit of strain on the engine if his fan clutch is, you know, wanting to kick in. But as hot as it has been lately, that's normal. So.
All right, we got time for probably one more call, maybe two. 11:56 on the wake-up call, 979-0919. Would love to have at least one more person take advantage of Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre giving out some automobile knowledge. Take advantage of it. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And I need to take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. I'm getting close to needing an oil change. Okay. All right, I got two calls coming in. This one blanked first. Caller, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Be quick, please, so I can get this other caller in before we finish. Fire away.
Okay. I have a 93 Grand Am. I've had it since it was brand new. It went through a little bit of abuse when we first got it because it went through me as a teenager and my brother's a teenager. But for some reason now, it just doesn't have a second gear. It revs like it's in neutral anytime it tries to go into second gear. It has the 3T40 transmission in it.
Yeah.
You need a transmission.
Yeah. You're going to need a tranny. It's done.
Sorry to break the news to you.
The transmission is done. It's either overhaul it or replace it is all you got as an option on it.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Good luck.
See you, bud.
Thank
all
you.
Right. All right. We got one last call here. Hey, caller.
Hey.
Be quick. Be quick.
1987 Acura Legend, and the light comes on that says clean the... fuel injectors, which I think is the same thing now that today they have check engine.
Okay. Are you saying it's asking for a service? Is that what it's telling you to do? Or is it saying service engine soon?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Is it saying service engine soon, or is it saying service?
I can't really hear you.
Is it saying service engine soon, or just service?
No, it says the light comes on, and it says... I looked in the book, and it says the fuel injectors need cleaning.
Well, then the only thing I would suggest is that if that's what the book is saying, Honda's pretty good, or excuse me, Acura is really good about what they put down.
I got 93,000 miles on it.
It wouldn't hurt it at this point. It'd be a good thing for it. You probably know, and I will tell you this: I have noticed those things come up with a good amount of power after they are serviced, because I've done several of those.
All right, guys, we got to finish up. Caller, thanks. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I could just about hear them, but thank you anyway.
All right. Guys, if you wanted to catch it, if I had a question you thought might have helped your problem, SeavillePodcast.com. We'll have this up later today. Thanks to Rusty and Steve for coming in.
Thank
Gentlemen,
you,
Rick. Always
Thank
nice
you.
To share your knowledge. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.
WNRN.